Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. It's the Tuesday after Holy Week, and Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We continue with our daily Bible reading, looking at Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Because he had the same occupation, he stayed and worked with them, for they were tent makers by trade. Every Sabbath he led a discussion in the synagogue, trying to persuade both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was entirely devoted to preaching the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they opposed Paul and slandered him, he shook out his clothes and said to them, "Your blood should be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." He left that place and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, a synagogue leader, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid, but keep on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, because I have many people in this city." He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the judicial bench. They said, "This man is persuading the people to worship God in a way that is against the law." But just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If this were some kind of misdemeanor or vicious crime, I would formally accept the complaint of you Jews. But since these are disputes about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not intend to be a judge of these things." So he drove them away from the judicial bench. Then all the Greeks seized Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the judicial bench. But none of these things concerned Gallio. After Paul stayed many more days, he said goodbye to the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, Paul had his head shaved because he was keeping a vow. Next they arrived at Ephesus, where he left Priscilla and Aquila. Paul himself went into the synagogue and led a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he declined. But as he said goodbye, he told them, "I will come back to you again, if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church. Then he went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he set out, traveling through one place after another in the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man and well-versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He spoke with burning zeal and taught the facts about Jesus accurately, although he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When he wanted to cross over to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he provided much help to those who had become believers by grace, because he vigorously refuted the Jews in public, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of our God. So there's a lot that happens in this chapter. In this chapter we have, you remember Paul had gotten out of town from Thessalonica, and he went down to Athens. He stood trial in Athens before the grand jury at the Areopagus, and he preached a sermon there based on the natural knowledge of God, based on what is apparent and visible from God, or about God from nature and from conscience. And then after that, he moves over to the next major city, which is Corinth. And don't know exactly why. Perhaps he thought that, you know, his time in Athens was spent. Perhaps you just realized that maybe Athens wasn't as fertile of a of a preaching area as he may have hoped for. But whatever reason, he ends up over in Corinth. And while he's in Corinth, then Timothy and Silas come down there from Thessalonica, and they catch up with him. And the part that was kind of left out there, but that we understand from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, is after Timothy and Silas meet up with him there in verse 5, then Paul sends them. They bring this report from Thessalonica. How are the Thessalonians doing? And Paul sends Timothy back with a letter to the Thessalonians that we call 1 Thessalonians. And then Timothy comes back to Paul, and he brings a second report about the Thessalonians. And Paul sends him back with another letter that we call 2 Thessalonians. So tomorrow, our Bible reading will continue with 1 Thessalonians and then 2 Thessalonians. They're written in fairly quick succession. And you remember that Paul only spent 2, maybe 3 weeks up there in Thessalonica. And so he got a lot done during that time, but they're still very new to the Christian faith, even though many of them have a strong Jewish background. So that's the first thing up there in verse 5. And in verse 6, you notice that Paul follows the same process. He starts at the synagogue and until they kick him out. And then when they kick him out, he goes and preaches to the Jews. Verse 6, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And then there's that little bit with the synagogue ruler and Sosthenes, and they bring this guy in before Gallio. Gallio, the proconsul in the area, kind of the local regional governor. But the interesting thing up there in verse 8, we hear about Crispus, the synagogue leader, who believed the Lord, and together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. And Paul spent a year and a half here, verse 11. So we hear about Crispus, the synagogue leader. He becomes a believer. Then in verse 17, we hear about Sosthenes, the new synagogue leader. And then all the Greeks seize Sosthenes and beat him in front of the judicial bench after the Jews come in with their trumped-up charge to try to get some legal action against Paul because they don't like what he's preaching about. So Sosthenes is the new synagogue leader, and when we look at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we'll see that Sosthenes also becomes a Christian. So the synagogue in Corinth has one leader after another become Christians. Well, the closest thing to a synagogue leader in our terminology would be like a head elder or a worship leader. This would be the person who would lead the regular service at the synagogue, and he would take care of, you know, most of the teaching and scheduling other people to come and speak. But he's not, you know, completely or fully trained like a pastor or a rabbi would be. But it's kind of like elder and fill-in pastor and maybe church president. And so, you know, bringing Paul in before Gallio wasn't the greatest idea because they don't have much of a case, and Gallio isn't really interested in talking about Jewish myths and genealogies, as another one of these rulers in the book of Acts would talk about when we get a little bit later, a few chapters later. So then Paul stays there for a year and a half, many more days, verse 18. Then he sails for Syria. Syria, you know, just north of Palestine there. But he goes down to the shore and shaves his head. I'll have to look up a little bit to see if that's the end of a vow or the beginning of a vow. But I think it's the beginning of the vow where he takes a short-term Nazarite vow in relation to perhaps something that happened on his journey or in relation to, I don't know. But it's been kind of a difficult missionary journey so far where he's been put on trial a couple of times where he's been had to hustle out of town because of the opposition from the Jews. And you kind of get that impression also when God appears to him and God speaks to Paul in a vision up there in verse 9 earlier. "Do not be afraid, but keep on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, because I have many people in this city." Paul was probably kind of intimidated, and he knows that he has been given the gospel to preach, and he knows that preaching that gospel would bring pain to him personally. He knows that he's going to rile up more opposition from the unbelievers, and especially from the Jewish people who want to cling to their own traditions without looking at Scripture and seeing that Jesus actually is the Christ. And so there are times, especially like when he writes to the Philippians, and maybe when he writes to the Corinthians, there are times where he talks about being reluctant, or, you know, pray, he says them, pray and ask that God would give me the strength to speak as I should. So then they go across the Aegean Sea from the bottom part of Greece there, over to Ephesus for a short period of time, then over to Caesarea, over by Palestine. Verse 22, when he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, then he went down to Antioch. Going up to greet the church means going up to Jerusalem, even though it's south on the map, and then going down to Antioch means coming back down in elevation a little bit, and going north to Antioch. And that's the conclusion of his second missionary journey. His third missionary journey begins in verse 23. After spending some time there, he set out, traveling through one place after another in the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. And then we'll talk about Apollos a little bit more, especially when we get to 1 Corinthians. So what do we learn from this? Well, we see that when God has given his word and somebody grasps the gospel, yes, they're a believer and they're made a believer by God's grace. And there is growth that happens there. When somebody understands the gospel and they begin to comprehend it in a greater and deeper fashion, then it's like they just can't stop. Paul can't stop. He knows that he's been saved from death. He knows that he's been given a new life. He knows that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these things written in the Old Testament scriptures. And he knows that apart from faith in Christ, people are destined for hell. And so he can't stop but teach and preach, even when there's opposition, even when it's uncomfortable for him, and even when God has to appear to him in a vision and say, don't worry, I know there's some opposition. He stood trial at least twice, maybe three times, actually at least three times, maybe four times during that missionary journey, all up and down Greece and Macedonia there. But he knows his Savior. And he knows spiritual reality. And so he says, I can't help but preach. I can't help but speak of the Lord Jesus and how much he has done for me. And so as you go about your day, take a moment to contemplate the fact that we serve this same Jesus who has been raised from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. And we've been given the same word. And then pray for somebody that you know. Pray for somebody that you know who knows God's word or that they don't. And pray for opportunity and the words to speak to them with words of truth and grace about our Savior, our risen Lord Jesus. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also find us on Facebook. Check us out there at Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.